Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I think you have to be the person that you are, because players are very smart individuals, I can promise you that, and especially our group of players who had in their careers a lot of good coaches. So they found out quick, are you fake or are you real?
När Malmö FF i juni presenterade en ny tränare efter sparkade Magnus Persson var Ove Rössler ett namn som ingen hade räknat med. Den tidiga Premier League och Bundesliga-spelaren inledde förvisso sin tränarkarriär i Norge, men tog steget över till England 2011 och hela tiden siktat uppåt och drömt om att återvända till Tyskland och ta hand om en tysk klubb. Men nu får Rössler ta vägen dit via Malmö FF och Allsvenskan och även Europa League. Som vanligt inleder vi podden med en faktaruta. Age?
49.
Where do you live?
Malmö.
Family?
Wife and two kids.
Education?
Football manager or football coach.
Salary?
Private.
Car?
Very happy with our way.
Hobbies?
Golf.
Languages?
At the moment more English than German.
Who would you see as the best football player through all ages?
Maradona.
What's the biggest experience you've had in regarding football?
The last international game for East Germany and Belgium. Historically a very important game. And obviously also the first time I played in Wembley with Brentford in a playoff final.
Which prize do you value the most in football that you've won?
Being the Hall of Fame in Manchester City.
I think that you have a favorite team. Which is it and why?
Manchester City, because of my time I spent over there and the relationships I built.
Over a long career, who was the best player you played with?
Michael Ballack.
And who was the toughest opponent you had?
Desai, Marcel Desai.
Do you have a goal that you bring out on YouTube to get in good spirits?
A goal?
Yeah, a goal or something, or a tackle or anything.
I was as one a funny moment when I was on the sideline for Wigan against what was it against Derby, and opposition player Russell, the winger, slided into me and I fell full over and in my suit, and so there was a moment of happiness for a lot of Derby supporters.
What was your best subject in school?
History.
A word you use too much?
Massive.
What do you regret buying? As a former pro football player, I guess you bought a lot of stuff.
Regret buying. I went once, my first time to New York, and I was overwhelmed about the city. And the pound sterling was a very good course to the dollar, and I bought so many things I never used. So I regret that.
When was the last time you were really happy?
I tried to be happy every day because life is too short, but the last real day of happiness was when we beat Besiktas.
Which has been your toughest crisis?
Diagnosed with cancer.
When was the last time you cried?
Diagnosed cancer.
You came to Malmö and you've had great results. You've only lost a couple of times, once in Europe and once in Allsvenskan. And what have you done?
Be myself, use my experience, and found a group of players and a group of staff who bought into my ideas.
I read an interview in Guardian that apart from Leeds United, you've done really good results as a manager, and that you know that you can affect a club, but that you were in a situation you wouldn't take any job, not like a suicide mission is what you used. How come you ended up picking Malmö when they contacted you?
I think the interview was referred, obviously, about the short spell at Leeds. And I think I'm a fan of English football, and you are Leeds supporter.
Yeah, I am.
And when you have the chance to manage Leeds United, and even with Massimo Cellino on the helm, you still take a chance. Would I do that today again? Probably not. But I think opportunity, caliber of the club, the history of the club was too good to turn down. And that is what I meant with that suicide mission.
Okay, but when Malmö reached out to you, I know Åge Hareide, who's also been in Molde, he was one of the people who mentioned you. How did you react when they contacted you?
I was a little bit surprised because I had two opportunities where I just missed out on German football. And I then returned from Germany, and 2 or 3 days later got a phone call from Malmö. So from my time in Norway, I knew how big Malmö is in terms of stature of the club, in terms of ambition, in terms of history, and also in terms of what opportunities this club can give you as a coach. And I was very curious of what the board can tell me, what the plans are. And under those meetings and conversations, I decided pretty quickly that's a great opportunity for me.
Because if you look at your training career, starting in Norway, then moving over to England, and you've been open that you really want to go to Germany, feels like a detour of ending up in Malmö.
No, I think I'm seeing it as another step forward in my coaching career. Malmö allows me to play for titles, what most of the clubs I had didn't do. I have a chance to win something here. I have a chance to get into Europe, what we achieved. I have a chance to build a team and can measure yourself against top opposition in Europe, what makes you as a coach better. And for me, I'm very happy that I signed the 2.5-year contract.
You beat Besiktas at the magical evening here at the stadium. Now you're playing Sarpsborg. You know Norwegian football very well. How special will that be?
To be fair, I was very, very happy when I saw the result of Sarpsborg against Genk. So that result tells everything to my players. I think tells everything to our supporters, how tough that team or that evening will be. But first we have Hammarby. I think it's important now that we not think too much ahead, but that we take every game after each other and then try to maximize our energy and concentration for each game.
How difficult it is to balance between Europe and Allsvenskan? How do you handle that as a coach?
As a coach, I think as a coach you know all the facts. You know that you have this year 51 competitive games compared to Norrköping, where one player criticized us, they have only 34 games. So we know when we have 50 plus games a season, that means Malmö FF doing really well. the only thing I was surprised on when I came to Malmö was the summer schedule we had since I arrived because of the World Cup. That was, especially the first block of games, was brutal. And I have to give my players and my staff a massive compliment how we came through this. I think not any other Swedish team could have juggled both journeys the way we did. It was a massive effort for the players. And especially when you also see we had injuries in certain areas where we struggled at times. But we came through it, and that's all about a club like Malmö try to achieve year in, year out 50-plus games.
Looking at you, you're playing for Europe, and you're for next season, I mean, being in top three would guarantee a place. Top four, there's an opportunity. There's also the cup this spring. How important is it to be able to play in Europe 2019 also?
Of course, it's our goal every year, you know. And when I came, we was number 11 in the league with number 10 with 11 points behind. Kept on going, kept on winning. But we also saw that OIK didn't drop any points. Credit to them, I have to say they're playing a fantastic season, and they are uncatchable for us. Throughout the whole games in Europe, it got tough with the injuries we had as well, but we're still hanging in there. I think the race is not over there for the second or third place. I think we play Hammarby now on Saturday, what is a crucial game. And we see after that where we are. I think we will fight. We have 10 games in 2018 to go, competitive games, and we try to win them all.
Malmö FF is an ambitious club. They're talking about winning the league, if not every year, almost every year, playing in Europe, hopefully winning the cup, and also bringing in young players. That's their aims, what they've said. What did they say to you when you met this in the beginning of June, or if it was in the end of May?
Malmö Altivina.
So that's what you know, Altivina.
That's what they told me. No, I think is when you sign as a coach for Malmö FF, of course your duty is to win most of the games. And obviously the club wasn't winning before I came. We changed that. Now it's about what I always say is about consistency of what you do, how you approach your job day to day, how you tackle the games game by game. And that is now our challenge going forward, also for this end of this season, but also for the next season. And when we do that in a manner like we did that now in the last four and a half months, then I think we will fight next year for gold.
For everyone who followed Malmö FF, they had a tough spring, and then they've changed and taken a lot of points. Could you pinpoint like three things that you've changed or that you've emphasized to make this change?
I don't know.
You must know something that you've done.
I think I clarified jobs, and I think that is what I've learned over nearly 15 years coaching. I think when you're going into a job, you need to clarify the jobs.
The jobs of the players.
For the players and for the staff.
So for the staff, they got you do this, you do that, and also for the players.
No, I think we dedicated certain rules and responsibilities to players and also staff. Say for example, Olaf, one of my assistants, is completely responsible for all set pieces. He has to analyze, going back, I don't know how many games, but hundreds of corners and free kicks, who has first contact, who's second contact, first phase, second phase. So there's a lot of research has to be done, and I think he's doing that fantastically. There's a reason why we're pretty strong on set pieces apart from the Häcken game. And so clarifying jobs for players and staff, I think that was one of the reasons.
And looking into young players, one couple of years ago, Malmö talked a lot about we have to get our young players. We have an academy which brings out a lot of talents. And looking at your starting 11s, they're pretty old, the average age for your starting 11.
I would never call my players old.
Okay.
I think I would call my players experienced.
Okay. There you have an experienced, and if you look at the age, it's a little bit higher than usual.
Yeah, and I'm completely agree with you. But Daniel made me aware, in comparison to FC Copenhagen, in comparison to Rosenborg, Trondheim, we're in a similar category. I was very surprised about that. Nearly every team I had a younger average age from the playing staff. For me, it's not about first 11. For me, it's always about the squad. To play for Malmö is very, very tough to coming out from the under-19s, going right into the first team and play week in, week out. It's nearly impossible. The guys who are achieving that, like Matthias Swanberg, get sold for 5 million euros. So that's the difference.
Is that a challenge then, to have an academy and to keep those players kind of happy that they see that it's a possibility for me to play out here?
Of course, they have a possibility. Now and then they get experience to play for Malmö. What is very important is for them is a big step already from the trainings culture. Trainings culture in youth football, development football, and trainings culture on the sharp end is completely different, in my opinion. That's the first step they do. They train with us at least for 1 year. And then we see, they are close to get more playing time in our club, or we giving them the second way, we loan them out for under six months or 12 months, and then see how they develop. Are they making their mistakes in other places? And then when they're doing really well, they're coming back to us and playing our team.
Is that a good way of loan players to other clubs?
I think that's the only way for a club like Malmö who has to win every year. So there is not much room for error. I think there's a reason why Malmö has recruited in the past very experienced players who are coming from big clubs in Europe, who knows how to handle pressure. The shirt at our stadium can at times be very heavy. The pressure is on. And natural players who experience a lot in their careers, they can handle those situations really well. And it's all about a good balance, in my opinion. The team cannot be too young or too experienced. I think we have to have a good mix, and that is what we try to do.
Max Rosenberg is doing really well. Very experienced player. We don't say that he's old. And how is your discussions going? I know that you want him to continue, and I know that you've said to him that keep on playing because you wanted to keep on playing.
I admire him for the fact that he has that inner drive. And that inner drive, you can't train. You have it or you don't have it. You love the game or you don't. And Marcus, he has it. And you could see it, for example, on the Besiktas game. He always can raise it at special occasions. He goes beyond the red line. I call it always the red line. And Marcus can't do it every 3 days. But we don't ask him to do that. I think it's very, very important for me as a coach, I think for the team, but also for the club, to convince Marcus that he's in the prime of his career, that he still should at least play one more year, and give the club and give himself also a smooth transition to a new life.
What do you think the chances are that we'll see Marcus Rosenberg in this stadium next year?
I don't know. I can't give you any indication. I think in the moment he's in a position where he gathered all information regarding next year. For me, from Daniel, from Niklas, and then he make a decision, and I'm sure he made the right decision with his family.
Now you've been here a couple of months and you've kind of have a good view of both the club and the squad and everything. What do you want for 2019? What have you said to Daniel Andersson? We need this and this to really challenge AIK.
I think we are in a period of games where we are so much focus on every game. Of course, we already spoke possible recruitment targets for next year. Of course, we have talked about the fixture list, or the schedule, what can come up with possible European games in February. My main focus, my whole energy is on the last 10 games. And then we take what comes after for next year regarding recruitment, regarding preparation, regarding targets. We do that.
But you have to start already now. I talked to Daniel Andersson. He said he was scouting a player today away. And so you must be...
Of course we're involved, but it's not my main focus now. My main focus now is Hammarby.
How do you, coming to Allsvenskan, we in the media, we're much closer than like in England. How do you like it?
What do you mean with much closer?
We get closer, we interviews closer than maybe in England. And I mean, interviews with players, and I mean, the distance between the media and the football industry in England is... bigger. How do you? It's a new culture.
It's not new, because I had the same in Norway for 6 years as a coach. So, in Norway, even started off, and journalists came into the dressing room. So that was a little bit too much, I felt. But in general, as a coach, I learned that culture. That society, and I think for me that makes me also a better coach. To go into different nations, to different football cultures, and learn to adapt on certain things, and that is obviously one thing what is completely different to English.
You don't read Swedish, so how do you follow the Swedish media?
To be fair, I can read a little bit, so I think I understand what I have to understand.
Okay, because I don't know if you referenced to a Norrköping player talked about you, and that was in the media.
He didn't talk about me.
No, he talked about you as a club, Malmö FF. I guess that, did you read that or did someone tell you?
I think I read it. So I was very surprised that at the time that the player talked about our football club when we not even had played him. So,
but you like to go in to ask questions on your own. I asked you a question when you were on a headset, and you asked me back. And you like to have that dialogue. I like it too. So
definitely, I think I have respect for the job the journalist does, because I think it's very important that you try to build an open and fair relationship, but that also allows you to sometimes also ask questions back when you feel it's maybe needed.
Something that's also special here in Malmö and some other places in Sweden, fans. I mean, it's a fan culture that is kind of an envy for a couple of leagues. How do you compare it to Malmö compared to being in England or in Germany that you've played, even though it's a long time ago?
Yeah, I said as a player, I was a fan of English football because of the atmosphere, because of the singing. And I said it yesterday in a board meeting, I think you get the best out of Uwe Rösler as a coach when Uwe Rösler works in a proper football environment, in a proper football town where football means everything. And exactly that Malmö gives me. And to experience the Besiktas game, what was special, but also experience our home crowd every another week makes me really happy and brings the best out of me. That gives me motivation, that gives me drive to do my job as good as possible.
Has it surprised you that Swedish football is this so many fans and this passion and atmosphere?
No, because I know a little bit about Swedish football, but I think the Malmö supporters was exactly that what I hoped they will be, because I heard about their passion before. And I think every person connected to our football club could call himself privileged to work for Malmö FF for those people.
Looking at the way you've been in Sweden a couple of months, is it anything, any team or any that has impressed you?
From the outside, I was thinking, when I came to Allsvenskan, it's a lot 4-4-2, 4-4-2, 4-4-2, and Allsvenskan had surprised me in the fact that is you get challenged different setups, different way of playing. I think Östersund in the past and today with Ian doing a very good job, I think, and I think that's I like that you in League One, for example, you face a similar style of opposition week in, week out, or every 3 days. So, and I think when you do that for a time, you stale as a coach. You need to get a new challenge, and that is what Allsvenskan gives me now. New players, new style of play, new formations to cope with and outmaneuver them with the players we have. That is fun.
As a coach, how do you look at the way in Sweden use of artificial turf? I think it's 7 or 8 teams that have an artificial turf that you go to and play. How do you? What is the impact of that?
It's simple. I like it or I don't like it. That doesn't matter. It's simple for our football club. When we want to be competitive and win the league each year, we need to get on with it. And as simple as that, we need to win those games.
Which relationship do you have with Swedish football? I mean, you were a player for a long time and then a coach.
I got a taste in when I played. I really enjoyed my last time in Lillestrøm as a player before I got sick. I really enjoyed the Norwegian league, but also then we had experience as a player with La Manga tournaments. I think I had a fight with Majostovic from Malmö and got sent off. We both got sent off, and Markus Rosenberg played one of his first games as a young player in that game. And all of my assistants played another centre half, and we smashed each other. So, but the real experience with Swedish football I got through the Royal League, where we did with Lillestrøm, we had the only Norwegian team who ever came in the final, and unfortunately Ståle beaten us in extra time.
With FC Copenhagen?
With FC Copenhagen, okay. But those was the real experience with Swedish football. But I think Swedish football have moved on a lot. Like you said before, when you see infrastructure, the stadiums, you see the crowd, where certain clubs can mobilize. That is, I think Swedish football is in a good way.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Den snart 50-årige Ove Rössler kan reflektera över ett spännande fotbollsliv där karriären som spelare fick ett abrupt slut på grund av en otäck cancer. En fight som han vann. Trots det så fanns det ingen tvekan om att Rössler ville tillbaka till fotbollen. Under sina år som spelare i Manchester City uppnådde han kultstatus och har kvar kontakten med klubben på flera sätt. Sonen spelar i akademin och familjen är bosatt i staden. Och inspirationen som tränare hittar Rössler hos flera av de största namnen i Premier League och bland dem Manchester Citys Pep Guardiola. Looking at your coaching career, you took up coaching in Lillestrøm after quitting as a player, and looking, I mean, Brentford and Wigan, you've been very close to big success, almost taking Brentford up in the playoffs, the same with Wigan and the same with Fleetwood, and seems like it's such small marginals. Can you feel that it's small margins from a success to being fired?
Being fired, I mean, first and foremost, when you're in this DNA now as a coach, you need to understand that you losing your job is a normal procedure. Firing in these days is a normal procedure. That's point one. The first time when I did in Lillestrøm, what I felt was completely undeserved, that was really hurting. So after the Fleetwood one, it's hurt not anymore so much because I this part and parcel of our game. Our society in general is very impatient. Social media plays a massive fact, and the earlier you get to terms with it, the better it is as a coach. And like you said, each club apart from Leeds, I improved immediately. Every club, a win percentage over 40%. For most of the clubs, I inherited in a relegation battle or lower midfield position. So as a coach in those big games like Wembley finals and playoff finals, or I remember with Brentford, the last game in the season in the 94th minute, the penalty, who wins your automatic promotion, and you put that penalty on the bar. So
they score.
The goal was not important. So because we wouldn't have gone up anyway with a 0-0. So, but you need in those moments, key moments, you need also a little bit luck. But the more often you be there, eventually it will go your way.
But there's so much impatience. Doesn't that frustrate you? I mean, you do really well in Wigan, and then 7 months later they fire you because.
No, it's. I think, of course, when you're analyzing each situation is different, and each club is different. So, but for me, I understand how the business works, and for me, that doesn't scare me off anymore. Put it that way. But I feel for the young generation of coaches who are coming up, especially in the UK, and try to get a foot in league football. I can see that they get scared off of that.
Yeah, it's a merry-go-round, and I read that after one job you started, or at least thinking about doing a master in sporting directorship, and that you talk about that there must be an absolute chemistry between the sporting director and the coach, and to build a short, medium, long term. Otherwise, the coach is just firefighting. And then I wonder, how is it working in Malmö with you and Daniel Andersson? Are you?
Yeah, I think I always try to educate myself in between jobs. So after the Leeds job, I signed up for a sporting director course, who I felt I wanted to see to learn the other side of the football. Dealing with board, dealing with the boardroom, dealing with agents, dealing with finances, but my passion, to make it absolutely clear, is my passion is coaching. I want to stay on the sideline. I don't want to do Daniel's job. In general, Daniel is the sixth sporting director I work with, and I think the model between a head coach and a sporting director, or the head coach and director of football, whatever you call it, in my opinion, is absolutely needed, especially when you talk about England, where you have a single ownership in most of the clubs, where you need somebody between the owner and the coach who can puffer, help in certain situations. For me, the relationship between head coach and sporting director is the most important one in a football club. One is responsible for short-term and medium, and the number one is responsible for medium and long-term. They need to be on the same page, and they need to have a general understanding of the same style of play and the same category of players to go for. And also, I think there might be a natural chemistry between them to make that job work.
How involved are you when you recruit Anders Christiansen this summer? Are you really involved, and Do you meet the agent and do you know the finances?
The deal was already made before I came, and I'm very, very happy. The quality Daniel brought in with AC is a fantastic player.
But looking forward, will you be involved in the finances, or will you just tell Daniel, this is the type of player I want, or how involved?
I think we discussing our needs for next season in terms of position, in terms of structure in our squad. And obviously that makes no sense when the club sign players up with not me agreeing on the player or not agreeing. I think there must be a common sense used between both of us. And of course, I have input in the signings, in the players who will come to the club and who will go.
If you look at football in other countries, it's very common that the coach brings assistants. You came alone. How come?
Yeah, how come? I think it's also once the club asked me to evaluate the staff, like I have to evaluate the players. I did that in the past. It's not scared me off. I think sometimes you challenging me more because I have to even adapt more to the people around me. I think sometimes it's very important to keep people and not bring your own people with, because for me it's a new country, it's a new football culture. I needed as many information I can get about players, about teams, about certain situations. And this is why I was more than willing to continue with the coaches, to continue with all the staff around me. And I'm very happy because the staff bought really in what I tried to achieve.
But wouldn't it be good to bring at least one assistant? It's a tough world, and I mean, as you talk about the pressure, and there's not always that much loyalty because you're maybe loyal to a job or a club or something. Wouldn't it be good to have one person that I can really trust?
I think in our club there is loyalty, so put it that way. But I know what you mean. I think sometimes you don't have the time to adapt to people and try to find about people and ways to work. Sometimes you need to be there immediately. I think it's important. You have to have a feeling, and I felt there was calculated risk, and I took it, and it's paid off. And we see what will happen next year. But
there might be changes in.
No, but what I want to say is I'm really happy with how the players and the staff commit themselves. But you never know. Maybe people, not only players, are interested from other clubs, from our squad, but maybe also staff members get it, maybe headhunted to other clubs. You never know.
In Sweden, you sometimes think that there isn't this impatience as in England Championship, where they change coaches all the time. But going 3 years back, you're the fifth coach in Malmö. There's been Åge, and there's been Allan Kuhn, and there's been Magnus Persson, and also Daniel Andersson as a caretaker. Are you surprised, and what pressure do you feel in that rotation?
I mean, I'm used to pressure. I think, like I said before, I need an environment, a football town where is natural pressure, where also the supporters demand performances and demand results. That counts for me, that like it counts for the players, it's the same. I'm driving on that, I'd be not scared of that. And I enjoy my work, and I think in our football club there is football fagile folk who can they can evaluate your work you do day by day, and most likely that will result into the results on the pitch. And then there is a spell when you not win every game and when you have difficulties to overcome. I think that will help the leaders to evaluate my job.
I think everyone who follows Malmö has read that you admire Jürgen Klopp and that kind of football and so on. And what football would you really like Malmö to play?
I think I admire Klopp for certain ways, the way he plays. I also admire Pep
Guardiola
for the beautiful football. I admire Mourinho for the cynical approach at times, what is needed. So I try to get the recipe, my own recipe, my own creation of coaching and style of play, by obviously orientate myself on the top football in the world. As a coach is, and I have a little bit experience by going to different type of teams. Like I said before, most of my teams had been a younger average age, so you could play a different type of football. Malmö is a little bit like Wigan, where it was a little bit a more experienced squad of players, players who experience a lot in their careers, and then you have to find a way to get the best out of those group of players, and that is the key. You have to have certain ideas of football, but also the key is to get the best out of your players and to get your best players on the pitch. I came here and I didn't know we play three in the back. But I saw the team, I saw the first two or three weeks in training, I saw the first one or two games we played, and then I found out that is the way going forward, and it's worked really well. But that doesn't mean we play next year the same way. So we have a plan, but we also need to try to adapt to bring the best out of people around you.
You have a long experience as a player. Is there any coach that you really, this is the one I want to model myself from, that I had as a player? He was good in different ways.
Otto Rehhagel.
What did Otto Rehhagel had? He was,
I think,
coach in Germany and Greece.
I think in the modern football, there is no more secret in terms of coaching, in terms of trainings, methodics. There is not any more so many percentage to gain. The most percentage you gain is management, and how to get the best out of individuals, how to deal with each individual. And I think the best man-to-man manager I personally had was Otto Rehhagel. Phenomenal person. He made feel everybody very important, and even when you're not played every week. And I think in this DNA, I think that is a must. Is massively important to have those qualities to inspire not only your players but also inspire the staff to get the best out of people.
When you talk about Pep and Klopp and all those, is it possible to bring that football to Allsvenskan? We see when Malmö have been out in Champions League and met some of the top teams, it's been a big difference. Is it possible to dream of football like that in Allsvenskan?
I think your question is divided in two things. One thing is the adaptation in Europe, and then another thing is to bring the beautiful football into Allsvenskan. I think you can bring beautiful football into Allsvenskan, but the core of players and the quality of players you have will probably not allow you to play that sort of football against Bayern Munich. So in Europe, so I think for us in Malmö, it's very important that we get challenged through Europe, because we saw it against Genk, we saw it also against Besiktas in the first 15-20 minutes. The tempo and the athleticism and the speed with the ball and without the ball is much higher than Allsvenskan, much higher. And for us, in both games, we needed, in the beginning of each game, we needed time to adapt to that. When we be more often in Europe and be more often exposed to that sort of quality, we can take that experience into Allsvenskan, and that makes us even more competitive in Allsvenskan. And that is what we're driving on, is the financial side to play in Europe, but very much so the learning curve, the development and the experience we gain out of those games.
If you read about your leadership style, there is a famous incident, or infamous incident, in Norway when the players practice very late at night. You remember, I guess.
I remember the incident, but what has that to do with leadership?
How has your leadership developed after that? Because I don't think Malmö players are practicing that much at night.
I think there was an incident. In my opinion, has nothing to do with general leadership.
No, but your leadership has probably developed after that.
Developed. I think there was a necessary situation we had to cope with and deal with, and we did it now and then, because on the next day we couldn't deal with it because it was the 17th of May, and every person who knows
Norway.
The 17th of National May
day.
Means exactly. So we had to deal it now and then. My leader, the way I lead is I lead by my experience, of 30 years professional football. And our upbringing in a professional, very professional environment in the elite school of sport. I believe in myself that I'm a good learner, and I learn quick. And I try to do the mistakes I did in the past, not do them too often again. And that is how I lead.
If you talk to players in Malmö, they say you're very straightforward, maybe more straightforward. They said it was 180 degrees from Magnus Persson to, in a way, also tough. How do you recognize yourself in that?
I think it's two different things. I think there is a great challenge for me. How English players and Scandinavian players, there's a difference in the way each player can receive messages and can handle messages. But in general, I think you have to be the person that you are, because players are very smart individuals. I can promise you that. And especially our group of players who had in their careers a lot of good coaches. So they found out quick, are you fake or are you real? And when you be real, you have to be honest. And players find out, are you honest or are you not honest? And I think for me, in an appropriate way, the players always need a fair feedback. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. And I think the players can handle it as long as you as a coach, you're fair and to be fair as most as you can be. Because football is, sometimes people think, oh, he isn't fair because he's not playing me. But you have to be honest to them. And I think honesty is the most important thing for a coach.
Being brought up in East Germany, I guess there wasn't it wasn't possible maybe to challenge the coaches at the elite school, and then having a career both in Germany and England in the old school days. I guess you didn't maybe challenge the manager, and there were hair dryers and things like that. How has that affected you as a coach?
I think I'm very privileged to have the opportunity to live in two political systems, and obviously your upbringing is forming you and your character, and your DNA, but also having living in the free world now for over 20 years is also giving you a lot of experience and a lot of things what is important on your way to be a good coach, and that basically formed me as a person who I am.
If a player in Malmö makes a mistake, does he get the hairdryer or?
Depending. I think in general human beings responding more to positive feedback than to hairdryers. But I think now and then a good hairdryer is needed.
You will soon be turned 50. That's often the time maybe when you start reflecting on life and thing. And you also had a various experience with a life-threatening disease, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that you got. How has that affected you?
It's not affected me in my character. It's affected me in the way I look at certain things. I think it's very important that you live life. And when, before my illness, I didn't sometimes enjoy life as much as I do now. So I think I found a better balance between working and also live life. But in the way I go about my job, about my ambitions, about my character, about my drive, nothing has changed.
You were an elite football player playing for Lillestrøm. You scored a goal in the first game of the season when you got the diagnosis. How did you react it, going from being a top athlete to suddenly very ill?
Yeah, I think I really enjoyed my time playing football. I loved the competitive way that at the time was in Norway. I loved the football club. Scored 10 goals in 11 games, and then that happened. I had one of the hardest pre-seasons from Arne Erlandsen. You know Arne Erlandsen from Gothenburg, so you know how tough he is and how hard his pre-season is. And I was just looking so forward for the season, and then that happened. That was obviously one of the worst minutes when I got told what happened. But again, we human creatures, we are made for dealing with massive crisis in a way, and then you learn out about yourself and you be in it. And I learned a lot about myself when I was right in the middle of it. And with the support of my family, we came through this together.
There's a touching story that I read about some friend that called you from a Manchester City game where you were in the hospital, and all the fans in Manchester City were singing about you.
Yeah, obviously, then that shows you the relationship I had to my previous club and to the supporters. And obviously, in the situation where I am, we talked about before in the interview about loyalty. And I think that those supporters have shown me so much in that situation where I am, where I needed them most. And that obviously helped me to overcome the illness.
After overcoming the illness, was it a certainty that you would stay in football and couldn't continue as a player, but you wanted to continue as a coach?
I think for me, I already started in East German times, just before unification. I started a coaching degree then on the University of Sport in Leipzig. So by then, when I was 18, 19 years old, I already thought about being a coach, and my illness has not changed that. I had time, I had 1.5 years to make my coaching badges, to finalize my coaching badges, and also get a little bit of distance from being a player and then to be a coach. And I think that was very important. And Lilleström, one is another club who I have a special relationship to in my career, supported me through my illness, but also gave me the chance under difficult circumstances when the club was not in a healthy position. They trusted me and Janak Fjotov to bring the ship again in safe water. And that's what we did, and I'm really, really proud of what we achieved there with the club together.
You're really a European. You're a German, working for Malmö, living in Malmö, but you also have family in Manchester. You have a home still in Manchester, I guess, and a son who plays for Manchester City. How do you support him going into this tough career?
I mean, we talk about, I talk about a lot in the situation where we're in with Malmö at the moment, with the game schedule, with the travel schedule, with everything what we have to go through to maximize our position to win games, about sacrifices to the players, sacrifices to the staff. And obviously, when I move to Malmö, my family, myself, we have to do sacrifices. So one of those sacrifices is that we live apart. My wife goes back and forward. My son comes back and forward as much as he can. And that is part of in the modern way to be a coach. So you have to, when you want to have a coaching career, you have to deal with those issues, and you have to have a partner and a family who support you with that, and I'm very fortunate to have that.
Your son is part of the Manchester City Academy. What kind of advice do you give him?
I give him the advice, you know, the facilities they have. I think they have probably, I don't know, but maybe the world's best facilities you can imagine as a young, upcoming, ambitious player. I'm telling him, use those use those expertise in terms of coaching, sports science, education, training facilities every day to the maximum. Because everything what you achieve, everything what you experience now, you will never experience again. And that the advice I'm giving him to maximize every minute you have in that fantastic football club.
It's hard taking part in Manchester City, but maybe that's, he knows that the football world is big. Would we, is there a possibility we'll see him in Malmö FF?
I don't know, but I think that is when we talk about recruitment for next year, he's not on the list, that for sure.
Okay. And he was baptized, he got the name after Colin Bell. His name is Colin,
yeah.
And you have another Tony Book, also Manchester City legend, that your son. How did your wife accept that? It's not that easy always.
We made a deal, so the girl name is my wife is choosing, and the boy names I choose. So Tony Book was one of my coaches, first team coach when I played, and knowing what he did as a player, seeing what he did with us, with me as a coach, understand what a fantastic person he is, was an honor to give him my oldest son his name, and obviously Colin Bell, a fantastic person as well, ambassador for the club, still now, and one of the greatest players, even considering the times with the players we have now at Manchester City, and Colin's very fortunate to have that name.
Yeah, you were a cult hero in Manchester City, scored 64 goals on 165 games in different competitions and in the Hall of Fame. What's your relationship with that super club that it is today? It's a far from main road when you played compared to today with Etihad and everything.
67 goals in 177 games.
Okay. That's good that you have your statistics. I thought this was the correct because I took it from the Manchester City.
No,
it's from the club.
Yeah, but when we talk about all competitions.
Okay.
So
I'll tell the club.
Don't worry. By the way, you're very good prepared. I like that. Now, what was the question? Okay.
The question was, how's your relationship with Manchester City today? It's a global brand.
Yeah.
They want to make it a McDonald's for football all over the world, with clubs all over the world. It's a big change from main road where you played, where you were a cult hero.
Yeah. Coming back to Malmö, so the atmosphere we have here now, what I experienced here now in the home games, that was the atmosphere I experienced when I came to Manchester City. Manchester City at the time was a working class club, a club for the Manchester people, who in my opinion, and not only in my opinion, is the real club of Manchester, because the another club is in Stratford. Obviously, through up and downs, where I was also part of it, this club found ownership, what the club absolutely massively benefited from, and not only the club, also the region, the community in East Manchester. The owners came in to this football club and not only spent money on transfer fees, on wages, they spent equally a big amount of money on infrastructure to recreate East Manchester, to bring jobs to East Manchester, to obviously then also create a football team, what globally is now a global club, is not a domestic club, a club for Manchester, is globally. And the scary thing from all of this is just the beginning.
Do you think anything is lost in the way?
I think for me, when you have seen and been part of this up and downs, and you've seen how loyal the support was and is, and then you see on the opposite side in Stratford, they won title after title, and you saw how much the city supporters had suffered through those times, and you see now things have changed, and the happiness in the eyes of the supporters is fantastic to see that they now experience the another side. Obviously, with that amount of success and globalization, some things got lost. Yeah, but the main thing is the joy of the supporters, the chance now to make Manchester City the greatest club in the world, obviously with the ownership from Dubai or from Abu Dhabi. And for me, it's just fantastic to see that, that those people are now so happy.
It's they franchise clubs. It would be impossible to buy Malmö because of the 51% rule. But in theory, would you like Malmö to be part of the franchise, or would you like it to be Malmö FF?
I would like it to be Malmö FF. I think I believe there can only be one Premier League, and Premier League is in England. I think the model, when it's for example in Germany, and what is also in Malmö, where is a people's club, is owned by the people, is not a 51% or 49% shareholder. I think that it works really well for German football. That also works really well for Malmö. Everybody feel ownership and part of it. And the Premier League is something to watch every weekend. Reality is our football club, and I think it works really well.
You have said that you want to go back to Germany as a coach. What's your, I mean, you grew up in East Germany when the country was divided. What's your view of life in that part today when it's unified with the whole of Germany?
First and foremost, I will make it clear is I'm very happy where I am. I have nearly 2 years to go on my contract. And my aim is, like you asked me before, my biggest aim is to fully fill my contract. And you never know, might extend my contract. So coming back on your question is, yes, one day I would like to have the experience to manage in my home country. I've been out of my home country for quite some time. And at one point in my career as a coach, I would like to challenge myself and see how my philosophy, my way of playing, my way of coaching works in Germany. When it will be, I don't know. I'm pretty sure there will be. I don't know which level, but I'm pretty sure it will be. But like I said, for the moment, I'm really happy here.
Growing up in the DDR, when I read interviews with you, you talk about, I mean, we couldn't leave the country because my family would be hurt, and that you thought that it was pretty good upbringing that you had.
For me, yeah.
Yeah. And looking back now, do you feel that you didn't have the full information when you grew up, or?
No, I think I had the full information. What I always said was sports people in general was very privileged people, like it is today as well in the free world, you know. So, but obviously when you be a top sports person who was winning world championship, Olympic games, or being involved in sport number one in football, of course you was privileged. And like I said, my family didn't need to pay a penny for me to going in this elite school. I got free education, didn't need to pay a penny for the education I got. And when you be 11 years old, you go away from home, you're not thinking about politics. You think about you fulfill your dream. And my dream was to be the best football player I can be, playing, representing your country, representing your club where you've grown up, Lokomotiv Leipzig, on the highest level, and make a career. And I have to say, I was privileged to get that chance. And where I am today is a lot about what I got when I started with 11 years old in Leipzig.
And I guess you have relatives still there today and so on. What's your view of how life has been after it's been unified?
You know, for me, I was a very privileged person again, because the unification came at the right time. Came when I was 21 years old, when I was at the top of my game in the league, got a lot of opportunities after that, offers from clubs, and the world was wide open for me. I played with players who was far better than me, far more talented than me. But then those chunks in lifetime came, unfortunately, a little bit late for their careers. So, like I said, in life sometimes you need a little bit of luck as well. And obviously then when you had the chunks, you need to make your own luck. And that is what I tried to do and still try to do. So life, people in the East was differently affected by the change and by the unification. The older generation, obviously, if a lot of them lost their jobs, a lot of them lost also a vision where we go from here, where I am in my life and I'd be 50, 60, what is the next 20, 30 years to come, a lot of uncertainty. And but in general, the unification was the best thing ever happened for whole Germany. And unfortunately, not everybody was on a fortunate side.
Thank you very much for taking your time.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ja, det återstår att se om Uwe Rösler lyckas med sin dröm att återvända till Tyskland som tränare, men att han är en internationell tränare i Allsvenskan. Det märker man inte minst att Malmö FF skickade med någon som lyssnade. Så är det bara i den stora fotbollsvärlden. Och podden är tillbaka nästa vecka. Då är Andreas Johansson gäst. Norrköpings lagkapten som nu har bestämt sig för att vända hem till Halmstad-Bäcke och få hjälpa dem upp i Allsvenskan återigen.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.